Today's scripture comes from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building in the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And the New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." God bless the reading of the word.
Wow, you read that wonderfully, having not seen it before. That was great. And all of those big words you did wonderfully. Thank you. Let's pray together. Living God, Holy Spirit, you have created all that is. Send forth now your Spirit to renew and restore us, that we may proclaim your good news in ways and words that all will understand and believe. Amen. Well, I don't know if you have Roku or whether you watch Netflix or any of that. Maybe none of you do, but Audrey and I do. We just love a good mini series, something we can watch every night during COVID shutdowns and times when we can't go out. Netflix picked up a German-speaking mini-series some time ago. It's not done yet. There's another season coming out, and I'm looking forward to it. We're used to the subtitles. We're both deaf, and so, you know, we just use subtitles all the time. So subtitles, German-speaking programs or whatever language, don't bother us at all. We like it. This particular one, created in Germany, has an interesting title. Babylon, Berlin. It's set in the 1930s between the First and the Second World Wars, and it depicts the decadence of Berlin in those years. And it gives the title then, Babylon, Berlin. Now, if you know nothing of the Bible, if you've never heard about Babylon, you would probably still be able to guess that by putting the name Babylon with Berlin, it means it's a very bad place. But of course, if you know the stories of the Bible, Babylon is a well-known word and name. Babylon appears in the first book of the Bible, Babel, or Babel. Babel is Babylon. And in the last book of the Bible, just imagine, the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible both carry this name. And it's woven through the scriptures, through the 66 books, over 200 times, the name Babylon appears. And it's never in a good way. As a matter of fact, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in the 17th chapter, John the writer says that he was carried away in a vision to a desert, to a wilderness place. And there he saw a woman sitting on a beast. And she was dressed in purple and scarlet. And she was adorned with jewelry, with gold and pearls and fine jewelry. And on the woman's head was written a mystery. And it said, Babylon the Great, mother of whores and of earth's abominations. That's in the last book of the Bible. And in the first book of the Bible, Babylon, Babel, appears in the 11th chapter. It is, in the reading that we just had this morning, a depiction of what the world looks like when it is without God. It is a picture of a godless world. Now, to fully understand that, there's a few dots here I'd like to sort of connect to help us to see how this came to be, how this picture actually arose and why. Let's go back to the beginning. The Bible begins with the story of the first parents, and then in the garden, this temptation. And Eve encounters the tempter, the serpent. Eve and Adam are living in joyful obedience, but the tempter comes. And the tempter whispers in Eve's ear. This is what he whispers. You will be like God. You will be like God. And Eve in her heart responds. These words are not in the Bible. These words are in our imagination, what Eve must have been thinking. And she thinks to herself, yes. I want to be like God. I want to be in charge of my own life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to have what I want when I want it. I want to decide for myself what is good and what is evil. Yes, yes. I want to be like God. I want to be God unto myself. And that's the beginning of our story. And the next thing that happens, not to be surprised, Cain kills his own brother, Abel. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And the whole earth is filled with violence and meanness. And God looks down and decides, I wish I hadn't even created this. I repent that I even made these people. Look at them. I'm going to destroy the whole thing. But then God sees Noah, and he can't do it. Because Noah walks with God, and he can't destroy it all. So there's this flood, but there's Noah and his family who come through the flood, and there's this new beginning. God's going to try again, but we know what happens. Noah's sons just pick up the story. And it's just the same thing, the same violence, the same meanness, the same living for oneself at the expense of who cares. And then we get the picture, what this looks like. This world without God, what does it look like? And it's the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, where the people say, come, let us build a city. And a tower that reaches up to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. You notice there's no prayer here. There's no praise here. There's no mention of God here. This is the picture we get of human self-glorification. We will build a city, and it will be like we want. And of course, the city is built with slave labor. And of course, there are some people who have all of the wealth and others who have nothing. Because in this city, you can do whatever you want. You don't have any restrictions. You can treat people like dirt. You can work them and not pay them. You can do anything and everything. This is the city of Babel. This is Babylon. And God comes down and looks at this. And God says, I love this verse. I love this. It's so true. God looks at how they were living and how they're treating each other and how they are living godless lives, how they are hurting each other, taking advantage of each other, living for themselves, this selfishness and this meanness. And God says, this is only the beginning of what they will do. And isn't that the truth? So Babylon becomes an empire. Babylon marches across the earth. It takes weaker nations into its power. It takes away the minerals and the wealth of the defeated nations. It takes the food. It starves the people. It kills for sport. It murders. It rapes. It's an empire. There's nothing that doesn't stop doing that it wants to do. That's what empires do. They take, they hurt, they kill, they steal, they plunder. And the story just keeps on going. Oh, the names change, of course. Other names, but it's all Babel. It's all Babylon. Genghis Khan. He kills 1/10 of the world's population. 1 out of every 10 people on the face of the earth. He kills them. And there's Caesar, and there's Alexander the Great, and there's Napoleon, and there's Stalin, and there's Hitler, and there's Putin. It just keeps on going. The empire just has this appetite for more and everything. Nothing stands in its way. And Babel is this picture. This is what the world looks like. God forsaken. But God has a plan. God has a plan. For when we move from the 11th chapter of Genesis to the 12th chapter of Genesis, we have the calling of Abraham. God is going to form a new race, a new people. In this new people that God is going to form through Abraham and Abraham's descendants, his children and their children, this new race, this new people are going to bless the world. They're going to be a light to the nation. And in God's good time, from Abraham, as the blessing and the knowledge and the understanding of what it means to be a blessing to the world, this new people, the day of Pentecost comes. And on the day of Pentecost, God pours out all of God that God can give to the world. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. The Holy Spirit is not an attribute of God. The Holy Spirit is not one of God's many gifts. The Holy Spirit is God coming fully in power and in love to fill this new race of people with his very presence and power and love and grace. The old Methodist missionary E. Stanley Jones used to say in some of his sermons, I read many, I was in Jerusalem one time and he was there, and I regret that I didn't know he was in the same place as I was. I would have so loved to have heard him speak. He used to write in his sermons, the human spirit fails unless the Holy Spirit fills. And so the Holy Spirit is what we celebrate today. God's coming completely and fully into his people to fill us, to change us, to renew us. And when the Holy Spirit comes, we sing Veni Creator Spiritus. Come, Creator Spirit. When that Holy Spirit comes, we are changed. This heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh that beats with God's heart. My dry bones, my brittle bones, these bones that are bleached in the sun and left to the animals, and these dry bones, these bones without movement or power, these dry dead bones take on flesh and skin and muscle. Now to do God's work. Holy Spirit comes, fills us with the presence of God. And we become this new creation. This people of the blessing. But not only that, the Holy Spirit does something to all of the divisions. It came on the day of Pentecost when these Jews from all over the world, all over the known world, they were gathered together in different colors and different costumes. They had different eating habits. They had different everything. They smelled different from each other. They looked different with each other. They had different languages. There was this group of people that were so different, gathered together. And then the Holy Spirit came and made them a family, brought them together. So that's what the wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit, its work, the Pentecostal work of the Holy Spirit, helps us to see that you and I cannot be complete without the gift that the other brings to us. The Holy Spirit helps us to see that we are in desperate need of the gifts, the blessings that other people bring to us. We're not full, we're not complete in ourselves, but when the blessing comes, when we share the blessing with one another, our lives are made complete. And the Holy Spirit then helps us to see that the other, who looks different, who talks different, who walks different, who eats different, is not someone to be feared, not someone to be destroyed, not someone to be shunned, not someone to be cut away, cut out, ignored. But God has given us this gift of completion through the Holy Spirit by bringing people who are totally different from each other into one family. There's a story about what happened in Poland after World War I. Poland, we don't hear much about Poland in World War I, but it was a battleground. The Russian army would come through and rape and burn and kill and plunder, and then the German army would come through and do the same. It was devastated. Poland was devastated after the First World War. The people were eating grass and heather and roots. They were starving by the hundreds and thousands. No food. And a group of Christians, they were actually Quakers, went to Poland after the First World War to help them to find hope and renewal and blessing and recovery. It so happened that one of these Quaker missionaries got typhus, and in 24 hours he was dead. He needed to be buried. Well, the state church had a cemetery, but the Quaker didn't qualify. It was consecrated ground. The Quaker wasn't of the right kind of Christian, and so the Quaker was denied burial in the town cemetery. So he was buried outside the fence of the town cemetery. And that night, under the cover of darkness, the people who loved him came out and moved the fence. So now he was included with all of those in beloved memory of that town. That's what Pentecost does to us. We are fence movers, seeking always to bring together in Pentecostal power those of God's family that we so desperately need. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, lead us out of Babel, where we claim our own language and cast out others. Bring us into your family and into your glory and into the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.